have a prayer point for us today. Somebody sometime prayed and he said, Lord, add days to my life. Hallelujah. But if you were wise, you would pray that God should add life to your day. Methuselah. He brought forth son and daughter. Somebody pray that prayer to the Lord. Add life to my day. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of 3 John. Let's do a long study. Hallelujah. 3 I hope you are not experimenting something. 3 John verse 2. Amen. Very popular scripture. But when I mentioned verse 2, I know some of you know it of heart. But let's look upon it closely and see what the scripture is saying. Once again, I welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin from verse 1, we're going to verse 2. It's the only possibility of survival. Please, if your phone is on, just switch it off. It is affecting our recording. Alright? No, you have the next few seconds. Just don't be ashamed if your phone is on. Just switch. Don't be ashamed. Just remove it, switch it off before we take off. Hallelujah. And then, the more as you mature, when you are going to church, leave it at home. As you mature. But we know we are many from different. But when you mature, leave it. In the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that if in a year, 1 year, you forgot yourself and came to your to service with your phone on twice, you need to mature. In Jesus' name. Now, are we there in the book of 3 John? To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we are going to be looking at that scripture this evening. But before we look into that scripture, I want to conclude my message yesterday. Because yesterday I did not finish. And there are several people yet that do not understand what we are trying to communicate. So while I was going, walking, because some of you went home after the meeting, I went to trek on the way to speak with Jesus. Because my heart was heavy after the meeting. And then he began to communicate to me, started preaching the sermon. Then he gave me an illustration. I remember some weeks ago, I went to preach in Otukpa. Hallelujah. Now, some of our brethren are from there. I went to preach there. So, my tour guide, after the preaching, said, okay, let's just go around town and get to know where we are. And then my tour guide took me to a place. He showed me a fortress where a shrine, there's a shrine there in that fortress. And he was telling me how that shrine came into that place. It was when they were looking for somebody to be the Ochidom. And it happened to be that it was as though the guy that was contesting from that axis did not have a chance, actually. And when everything was placed in the balances, they saw that the possibility of him becoming a king was not in view. And because of that, they went to Igbo land and imported a shrine, an idol, with an accompanying vibrant spirit. Hallelujah. I think the name of the shrine is called Adero. Adero. Okay. Some people already. Hallelujah. And they were able to use the services of that spirit that was imported into the locality. Alright? Use the ability of that spiritual influence to place their son on the throne. Hallelujah. Now, that the thing I'm trying to describe now happened long time ago. Okay? But if you go to that place, on the account of what happened, if you go to that place, you discover it's very easy to know who is from that family. Because a fraction of them are mental. Another fraction of them are crippled. And then there's a fraction of them also that they are not totally mental, not totally crippled. But they have a strange kind of ability. Hallelujah. They showed me one walking across the road. They said, this one, you know that cement slab that they used to hang electric wire from? That cement slab. They said, this one, only him can carry it. Now, so, he has this flair for carrying things. He can see you now. And hallelujah. If you are still here, say amen. Now, so what I'm saying is that the contract that created this scenario was done long time. Now, you did not need to do anything to be mad in that time. Do you understand that? There's an influence that was brought into the territory that makes it so. You need not struggle to be crippled. Because of the influence that has come into the territory, that one is natural. Do you understand that? Now, see, in the world of spirits, you must understand that every spirit has a function. It has an original function. Now, a spirit can come and lie to you that I can give you this ability, this power. Alright? But if that spirit is not the original spirit that has that ability, if it succeeds to manipulate spiritual principles in order to bring to you that which he promised you, he will give you compound interest of his true character. You don't understand it. Now, so when they contracted that spirit, they did not understand that the spirit had a nature, a characteristic. And bringing the spirit into the territory and employing his ability was also employing his characteristics, because he will place his fingerprint upon you so that anytime somebody sees you, that you understand that. Now, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. That's the original spirit that empowers me. And that's why when he empowers you, he does not add anything. He has nothing else to add because he's the original spirit. But there are several other spirits that can claim to have the same ability, but after that you have cut covenant with them, they will superimpose upon you their true character. Are you still here with me? Now, so what we are talking about here, that which Abraham encountered was that power. That power that can go through generations. The person that went to contract the spirit is dead, though. Do you understand? But the influence of his presence is still manifest. Now, so what we are talking about here is something that can go beyond generations. Because it was contacted by somebody, it can keep working. If that is not the realm you are operating from, you are an economist. What we have is cheap. So cheap. And most of what we preach, if somebody that is secularly established comes into our assembly, our words will be like fairy tales. He will wonder why we are spending so much time talking about what he will use a telephone call to achieve. The true blessing according to the Bible was revealed in the book of Galatians chapter 3, and that is the promise of the Spirit.
So if there is anything that you have attained to without a link with the spirit, it has a time bomb. It will diminish with time.
And it happens to be that that's what our generation is looking after. Somebody believes that when he just has a car to ride around, it will add more to the sense of his being. And so he is just seeking out, what will I do to become mobile? Because it will add something to me. You understand? That's the mentality he has. But you see, when Abraham had nothing, God told him that I am your reward. I'm your portion. That means I am all you have. Sometimes situations and circumstances must bring us to a point where we know that God is the only option. He's in such tight corners that you can actually enter into God enough to get his influence to begin to cause the light to fall before you in pleasant place. The spiritual aura that your submission to God engages, and the effect can be seen in the praise of the natural. And even though you don't have any inheritance to give to your child, you invoke the same influence upon him, and he goes to Ghana, the same thing will start working. Jacob did not give anything to Joseph. Nothing. No property. Nothing. But the guy went to a strange land. That thing started what? Working. Now, is it because Joseph had a skill? He learned carpentry.
You don't understand.
That was what encountered Abraham. And when he encountered God and knew that God was his portion, he knew that there was nothing left for him to fall upon, so he fell upon God. Now, it takes that utter submission to God to be able to explore him to the point where he begins to cause everything to navigate towards you in line with your divine purpose. But see, people that claim to have testimonies of divine breakthrough, you will not see a strong sense of inclination towards God's shoulder. That is not Abraham. He has another source. See, there are sources you can draw upon. But Abraham's own was based on his knowledge of the fact that if God says, he doesn't have another son. So God was his portion. He leaned upon God. And God made him a channel to his nations, families, and generations.
Hallelujah. And so when we check your life and see that even to have compassion upon somebody that is in a fix, alright, so that you meet his needs, so that the person can connect to the next level. You don't even have that ability yet. It means you have not, if you encounter what I'm saying, you will think beyond you. Do you understand that? You can let stuff go and know that I cannot be stranded. You can meet somebody's need, not because you have something else to survive on. You see, there's a consciousness. It brings you to a point of soulish health, such that every form of inferiority and anxiety and fear of the future is handled by that encounter. If you are actually operating from that pivot, no fear of the future can make you a slave. You don't need to argue about 1 naira. And if somebody ends up cheating you, you let them go without cursing them. When what I am saying is activated, it can go through generations. The Bible says that a righteous man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. Now, you see, we, in our carnal way of interpreting the Bible, have interpreted that scripture to mean that if you are a good man, you need to build a house and then call your grandson and say, Ike, voice quarter. That That's what we interpret that scripture to mean, that I've kept enough for my grandchild. Are you aware of that righteous man that died and his children were in debt? But the Bible called him righteous. Let me say. But do you know that it was out of... Okay, let me explain the scripture first. A good man liveth an inheritance for his children's children. Good. Now, what that scripture is saying is that because you are good, there's a heritage in the spirit. Because you lived righteously, there's a heritage in the spirit that will affect your children's children. You don't understand? Okay, let me use the negative side. That one, we are so negative in our minds, so we can use negative things to know positive. That's why I talk about shrines and witchcraft. Because our mind is... an evil man. You know, because of his evil, many people have cursed him, and he too has broken several spiritual principles that have implications on him. I hope you know that even if the man dies, that thing will still be transferred to his children. You will see the same symptoms. Now, that is the same thing in the positive way. That because you lived righteously, lived right in conformity to divine principles, the implication of the fact is that there is a heritage for what? Your children's children. That is what the Bible means when it says the lines are falling to me in prison places. It is as though this thing I'm tapping into is a heritage that my children also can drink from. It's generational. It is only activated at the point that you discover that God is your portion, no alternative. I zero in that my life will take its bearing from God. Every time your life is about to experience a facelift, God gives you a revelation. See. The truth is, with your charisma, with your brain, with your articulation, you cannot change God's season for your life. You know, sometimes some people come to pastor and think that just because you are a pastor, you can create husband, create wife. No. Everything is ordered in a season. And if you are going to move from one season to the next season, God gives you an instruction. It's on the strength of that word that your life will glide with grace. It means that every phase of your life must begin with an encounter with the Spirit. He releases ability into your spirit to move you into that plane. That is the blessing. And I want you to understand that God will not financially and materially provide for you much more than that which is required for you to fulfill your divine purpose. Hear that. Because some people feel that, hey, let's go to Central Bank. Because what we have been taught with in this regard has made us believe that there's a boundless kind of bounty that God has made available. Just enter. That which God makes available to you is to the degree that is required for you to fulfill your divine purpose. You must stay submitted to God to understand your seasons and to receive empowerment from the Spirit to take you to new pedestals of grace. If your story doesn't begin from that point, hallelujah. Please make welcome my friend. Amen. So let's go to the Bible now. We are going to go beyond where we stopped yesterday. And I trust that God will help us. This scripture is a scripture of theological controversy. And I believe that God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want us to be true this night. Let's be true. Alright? What the Bible is not saying, let's not say. So that we can understand something as God will give us grace in Jesus' mighty name. Now, so the Bible says to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. You know, it's based on this scripture that we have been told that God's utmost priority is to see to it that we prosper. That everything around our lives must come into conformity with a design such that is gliding on the strength of prosperity. Hallelujah. And that is God's utmost priority. Is that not what the scripture is saying? Amen. We are in Bible class this now. We can argue on a scripture in this service till we find the truth. First of all, I want us to understand the pattern of apostolic writing. Most times when an apostle is about to write, first of all, he does what we call a salutation. Greets the people. Alright, cut. How are you doing? May the grace of the Lord be with you all in the name of Jesus. And so that he can calm you down. Maybe some of you encounter, so he comes and calms you down. Then he begins to bring the doctrine meticulously and begins to bring the burden upon his heart so clearly but systematically so that he beguiles you into a reality that you cannot ignore after that you have read his letter. And most of the time, the first two verses of the apostolic charge is a salutation. And if we look at the Bible in the book of 3 John chapter verse 2 still falls within the bracket of what? Salutation. So tell somebody salutation. Tell somebody the apostle is just greeting. Hallelujah. We claim that the apostle was so hot in his spirit that by the time he got to verse 2, he was already bringing out a deep revelation that revealed God's utmost perspective. No, he was still saluting. I know you don't believe me. Nevertheless, even if you don't believe me, the Bible says that he was writing specifically to a brother named Gaius. And if you read very carefully, you will find out that actually what motivated the apostle to give this kind of salutation was because he had wind of Gaius' ill health. And that was why he chose his salutation to bear the nature of a kind of prioritization. So in his salutation, he deliberately decided to prioritize it. That in my salutation, I'm going to greet him. That my prayer is so that by the time this letter is coming to you, you will be in good health and everything around your life will be stable. That's what it. I hope you know God has not spoken yet. It's the apostle greeting. Now, but this scripture is the major scripture upon which we anchor the strongest inclination towards bringing people to see the utmost intention of God, which is that people will what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, the man here was just greeting and trying to be sensitive to the brother's situation. So his salutation was directed at the brother's condition. It was not a mighty revelation. Because the message of 3 John, in fact, the message of John the Beloved, his message, he had four anchor messages. It was John that spoke about the world system, the cosmos. That behind the systems of man, there is a major spiritual intelligence that is ordering everything away from God. It was John the prophet. He saw into the realm of the spirit and understood the trend of events. If you read the book of Judges, 10 times Israel sinned. 10 times nations came, conquered them. 10 times God raised a judge and brought them to deliverance. Why was it that they were always sinning? It was John that gave us insight. That trend away from God was masterminded by an intelligent spirit. The mind behind the system. It was John that gave us revelation of the world system. Secondly, John was the one that downloaded the concept of truth. Because truth is not a statement of fact. Truth is the substance of reality. When he was speaking about Jesus and he said, Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth. He was not saying that I'm a statement of fact. He is saying that I am the reality. That if you walk into the realm of the spirit and you touch anything that has form and shape, it is me. It's me inside of your spirit that furnishes every spiritual sense.
I'm the one that shows you and furnishes the sense of faith. I'm the one that furnishes the sense of assurance. I'm the one that furnishes the sense of joy. I just walk inside of you and I furnish every spiritual sense. He said, I am what? The reality. It was John that picked that dimension. And if you check John's writing, you also see that John was the one that revealed to us that the sum total of the expression of God was love. And that's why you come to realize that we do not have fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit, one fruit that has dimensions. If you put it in any condition, it has an expression. Put it in any kind of solvent, it has a manifestation. It is the same thing God expressed. And it was John that gave us an insight into what godliness truly is. Because godliness is God revealed through man. Are you still here with me? And one of the major revelations of John, if you read the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you will see 3 John is talking about truth. Are you still here? Talking about reality. That many guys can just come up and go through the emotion. There's no substance. Do you understand that? You don't get it. Now, see, there's a way I can speak now. Just speak. I can be prolific, so eloquent, so coordinated with my words, and nothing is happening to you in your spirit. It means it is empty. No reality. That's what John is saying. John was the one that picked that revelation. Alright? So the subject of the book of 3 John is the subject of truth. And he loved Gaius because Gaius was somebody that subscribed to what? To the truth. Then he now gave his salutation. And his salutation was with particular reference to Gaius' situation. And he said that, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. The only thing that John was sure about in his salutation was that he was sure about the prosperity of Gaius' soul. Somebody say amen. At any point in this service that you don't believe me, please just go and ask questions. Let's continue from that point. Hallelujah. Because we are going far today. Amen. And check also the word wish. It is used 5 times in the New Testament. The original word. And 5 times that it was used, it actually conveyed the wishes of man, not the wishes of God. So that revealed to us that it was John wishing. It was not God's utmost wish. On the strength of this, we want to bring out a sermon this night titled Divine Prioritization. If I'm saying that this is not God's utmost priority, I want to show us from the Bible what is God's utmost priority. And you will see it conflicting grossly with our concept of God's priority, which has made our error established. We want to redefine that picture and bring out God's true priority. And then we'll find out whether that priority is what is established in our time. I studied the New Testament. I found out that there are 161 times where the Bible says first in the New Testament. I wanted to capture the words of Jesus, so I reduced my search. And I saw that in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are 71 times where the word first was used. Then we are going to begin, and we are going to open every page where you have the word first with respect to doctrine, divine emphasis, and particularly in places where it was God speaking. It was the Son of God himself expressing the mind of God with respect to God's emphasis as touching God's economy. If you are still here, say amen. You see, our brother stood up here and he said that priority. If you have a wrong priority in life, you become a wrong product, actually. Don't listen. The book of Matthew. Strike your chord. I need minor. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you. King of kings,
Lord of Lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you.
Matthew chapter 5.
Yes, amen. Let's just do Bible study.
Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, notice that it is red letter. The master speaking. If you don't believe any other person, believe me. I counsel you. In Jesus' name. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way first. Somebody say first. Be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. That's divine priority. Now this guy is attending a Thanksgiving service. Hallelujah. And you know, those days when we were in the Orthodox Church, you stand at your seat. There's one offering bag that is made of cloth. Alright? I don't know if you have been there. Nobody knows what the neighbor put inside. And it goes around like that. But a new method was crystallized. Where the people from the back will move. Hallelujah. So that if the line begins to go, you just remember that, oh, but I don't carry up, you know. Right there, you make arrangements. Right there. So, maybe you're already, give me one song, this kind of song we use for offering. And you're already in the motion. A song that would make you go fast. Alright? So maybe you were in the motion, just go, and then you just remember that, man, you and your roommate had an issue. Alright? There was something that was not settled, and you will leave church and still go into the mode of that issue. That is to say that what you did in church, because the issue is unsettled, you will still go and behave the way you behaved yesterday. After that service. Means that everything you did in that service is null and void. According to God's priority. He says, stop there. Because if you stop online, it will be unusual. Tell me so. Are you already? It will be unusual. Go out. Put on your handset outside. Call you. I need to give an offering. Now, does it sound normal? Okay. Jesus is saying that offering you're about to cast into the offering bag is not as important as the posture of your heart. Now, you must have read the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Now, you will see the form in which prayers are sent to God. In the Bible study at home, I showed you that. That prayers are sent to God like incense. Where does it come from? It comes from the altar of your heart. And it's when God perceives the incense, he knows, because everyone here has a different savour. You must have known that through the writings of Paul. So when he perceives, he knows that it's Pastor Chris praying. So the incense leaves the altar of your heart and ascends to heaven. And when God perceives it, he knows who he sacrificed. Now, see, when you are going to give your offering, you know, God doesn't need the money. Okay? But God looks upon the heart that is given. We as ministers, we need the coins to fix the keyboard. We need the coins to put where in the vehicle so that it will be moved. Hallelujah. Okay. We are the ones that receive it. In case you are confused, I'm telling you now. But see, what goes to heaven comes from the altar of your heart. And that aroma is going to be, somebody give me a word. Help.
is going to be a mixture of pungent gases. The sulfur will be...
Oh, give me a word.
Huh? Yes, it will be stinking because the posture of the heart harbors some kind of rebellion. It has not yet submitted fully. But you are doing a show on the outside about to cast a seed that will lock up, unlock your financial life. Hallelujah. But the Lord says, in transit, you hold the brakes because you're about to do something that will be relevant. The heart that is given is not accepted. So God will first accept you before he accepts what? So if you have seen it to that point, I want to take you on a journey. God's priority is your heart, not your hand. Don't give if you are a cook. You know, people, we feel today, you know, they taught us that if you just take a seed, somebody say seed, and you cast a seed, a huge seed, it can change something. That's true. Okay? But let me tell you the truth. If you casting the seed has not yet submitted to God's lordship, your seed has no effect in the realm of the seed. If you are not accepted, your sowing is useless. Your seed can do nothing except you change from inside. Come in a hurry to sow. And let me tell you something. If you have not even gotten to the point that you sow as a lifestyle, you are far from God. Let's put it in the order. You will begin to see God's priority as we move. Okay? He said, you go back and make amends before you come give it. Priority. Did you see it to that point? Come with me again. Let's go. See Matthew. I said we have 71 scriptures to open. Matthew, we're going small. But before we finish Matthew 6, let's support this scripture with 1 Samuel. Let's support the first scripture, Matthew 5:24, with 1 Samuel. I want to say something before we move. I trust that the great one will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. First Samuel 15. And there say amen. Let me read from verse 21 and I read 22. So the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should be utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of ram. Somebody say priority. God gave an instruction. He said, you guys go destroy the place. They went, they kept some stuff. They brought the best for sacrifice. Jesus. He said, has the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice? That to obey is better. Somebody say it's better. Because we live in a time where somebody feels that he can live a life that is lawless and then atone for his lawlessness by
sowing a seed. Somebody say, a seed. No, it doesn't work that way. So he goes about the basis of his primary business is not accepted in God. Alright? But when he does it and he gets gain, he comes to church and says, he might even earn an eldership on the strength of his consistency. Indeed. What Samuel said, to obey is better. I'm telling you what it means when Abraham lifted up his hand. It's a state of surrender. You are hedged in. And it's only the allowance that God gives you that you can walk. Alright? If you live that way, it may take time. But a time will come where things will navigate in your direction in order to equip you sufficiently to fulfill your divine purpose. There's always a test of adversity and a test of prosperity. Most people pass the test of adversity, fail in prosperity. Because when you come to the realm of prosperity, you have ability. And many times you are tempted to believe that we can always appease God. But the prophet said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Are you beginning to see God's priority? It's much more of the heart than what you do on the eyes. To hack it than the fast of man. Now, if we go to the church of our day, we pick a sample Christian from the crowd. And we check his level of obedience to God. You'll be amazed what our value really is upon the people of the earth. Meanwhile, that person is quick to give to God. That person is quick to identify with the purpose of God. Alright? But his life is an epitome of rebellion. Now, work with me. Divine what? I've been privileged to live in the north for some time. I was there during the riot. In fact, there was a time my neck slightly missed the edge of the sword. Not that I ran. Because I had prayed into the hands I committed my spirit. Just that God did not answer. Hallelujah. I was there. And I see the power of Islam. The Christianity we glory in today is not as strong as that. The Islamic guy is ready, because the Quran says he should die for his God. He's ready today. If there's an opportunity, he will yield himself. But the Christian that is assured of the afterlife is afraid to submit. Many people deny Christ when those situations come. Now, you will check and you find out that the level of our rebellion in our heart is much. But yet, we identify with God on Sunday morning. Meanwhile, God has a power. I said, Micah said that is the spirit of the Lord straightened. And this is what it means that Micah is saying, is it that the Holy Ghost is limited? I'm just trying to bring to you the things that have limited the Holy Spirit in our time. There's cross rebellion. But we identify verbally and with us. And we're expecting that since that seed entered the basket, that God is under obligation to do something, to rattle the heavens, to cause something to happen. They had God. To obey is better than to hack it. You may think that those instructions are light until you are faced with a situation that will actually prove your allegiance. the oil industry. It's easy to make money. Especially if you are a custodian of the national stamp.
Hallelujah.
And the law is that any product that is brought into a vicinity where there's a devil, you go and register it so that we see where it's coming from. Okay? See where it's what we're going to.
Hope so.
When they were putting us out, they threatened, they said, if you go out and violate, you will sack me.
Hallelujah.
We're all posted, people to Lagos, people to Yola. So news then came back that the people in Port Harcourt and Lagos have deep now. That the guys in port, they have jeep.
Hallelujah.
It's very easy to make money. Now, have you been faced with money? The possibility of making like 200,000 in a month, 100,000, you know? Have you been faced with that? And then you face it consistently, and then your heart decides to what? To obey. Think about it first. Think about it. Now, so many times when we come to church and say, glory be to your name. God is one. That's why our generation is not strong. It should not be possible for people to riot and kill Christians and their lives. Shouldn't it? Because Jesus has to appear. Why persecutors die? It's terrible. You can't just come and kill somebody and sleep and wake up. No. But you see, when we are standing on the ground that is not right, the word of God uses its potency to deliver. That's what the prophet said. Is the spirit of the Lord sitting? Let me tell you, obeying God is not the easiest thing. But for people that have subscribed to the Lordship of Jesus, they have no choice. People that have actually found out that God is their Lord, they will die bearing the yoke of his decree. Those are the people that God operates sovereignly in their behalf. If you touch those people, you may not reach home. Because their God will fight you. To obey is better than to hack it. I hope you know in NYC, if you get to 38, they'll give you, 31, they'll give you with what? Discharge certificate. But NYC, they'll give you exemption certificate. All right. Now, see, NYC is not you. So the NYC will bring form for you to be. That's when you see people's age, football age. You know what they call football age? Football age, with enough margin and allowance to make them enter. Somebody says to obey is better than sacrifice. If we are going to be strong, strong people, strong of God, then we must bring the issues of the Lordship of Jesus closer home. That I will not allow my life to carry out something that my Lord will not allow. If we live within the boundaries of his Lordship, I tell you the reality of his presence and power will accompany us. When you now take a seed and sow, it will hit heaven. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Divine priority.
Hallelujah. No, one of my friends came from the north. That my friend is here now. Came from the north, came from Zaria, precisely. Hallelujah. Amen. Came from Zaria, precisely. And started telling me that there are some new teachers in Zaria now. They are teaching wealth transfer. Hallelujah. And the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous. Somebody say amen. Is that not good news? Let me tell you something about wealth transfer before you become happy. Because wealth transfer is judgment. I was just trying to make them understand that wealth transfer is what? Judgment. That it was when God judged Egypt that wealth was what? Transfer. We cannot separate wealth transfer from judgment. God will place judgment upon everything He has not uttered. So the economy of nations will come under judgment. Like what is happening in America now. The economy is under judgment. It's dwindling. That's why the dollar is dropping. It's going to change the economic template worldwide. It's through those judgments. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, the time was what? Spent. God, the cup of Sodom was full and God brought judgment to them. That is what is going to be happening. Is that we give birth to that transfer. Not because you become so intelligent about software. It doesn't. Now, let me tell you something. If God puts his searchlight on your life to judge everything that He has not uttered, will He survive? Meanwhile, before that transfer will take place, that judgment must go forth. And that is why it's not everybody that will make contact with kingdom with. He must approve you, your willingness to hearken, and your readiness to obey Him consistently, deliberately, even in seasons and times where it's not convenient. You see, step out at your own peril to stand for His name. When such a person cries in prayer, it hits heaven. When He drops a seed and cries upon it, things must happen in the realm of the spirit. But the reason why we are not seeing some things that would have been spiritual nuggets, prophetic nuggets, we are not seeing the reality because the fundamental basis of His effectiveness is faulty. That's why the prophet said, "Is the Spirit of the Lord strengthened? Is He restricted in our time? Is it not true that the word of God will do good to him that walks uprightly?" Our failure is that we have not dealt with Him uprightly. And so His eternal, immutable word has become important to bring deliverance to our generation. Our values must change. Our perspective must be altered. God must have to recalibrate our minds in our pursuit of Him so that something strong can be punished upon the face of the earth. And lasciviousness of all kinds must give way until you know that I'm a subject to the kingdom in practice. It's very easy to violate God's principle. And when you do, how do you feel? Do you repent? Or you live a life of consistent rebellion. You just live loose. Hallelujah. And expect that God will go. Follow me to Matthew chapter 6. You know, when I became a preacher about 14 years ago, I went to my mentor. Because he's a man of power. And I asked him, I said, I want power. When you come into a meeting and you say, 15 people have this problem, I want that thing. You didn't answer me. I'll follow him for crusades. He will be sleeping on the bed. Me, I pray all night. Barakata, kuriya, mayakata, kriyaka nama. Mayaka kunama. The guy will sleep till daybreak. And then, when he will eat, me, I will be fasting.
I'll drink malt and sit on the bed. If you come, you'll never see me lying down. I'll be sitting in front. You will eat bando and meat. But when we come for the meeting in the evening, he will do his hand like this. I say, if it's not charm, you will tell me this. Then he told me, I didn't know that was a secret. He said, prayer becomes effective when you are obedient to God. But I didn't hear. I was thinking of something strong. You went on a mountain and then did something when you came back. Most of us have done that. But your life is such that God cannot empower you. Because if God empowers you, the portrait you'll be projecting, not him. A greedy man, when he has money, the money will amplify his greed. A fleshly man, when he has money, money will do what? Amplify his flesh. So money is like a magnifying lens that will bring you out, the real you. The guy that likes a fizzy, when money comes, he can go to a boutique and bring out a suit of 30,000. When he puts it on, say, amen. He wants to catch. Hallelujah. I was in a service one day. A preacher didn't know what to say again. The guy said, you see this suit is 25,000. You will get there. You were there too. You will get there in the name of Jesus. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. You get there. And so our concepts of God wrong. And somebody's trying to get there. Somebody wants to get there in a hurry. He wants to find himself there so that he can stand and say, you too, you will get there. Then I found out that the heart cry of God was to get people that could do. So it is possible for you to live your Christian life without having Jesus as your Lord. You do all the stuff you want to do. You do anything you want to do. You say anything you want to say. You are free. Just, hey, and you are still in the fire. Oh! But if you decide to go the extra mile, he will never force you. If you want to be a prince of power, somebody that he looks upon, when he's trying to move in a territory, he comes to whisper to you and gossip to you. That I want to move in your time. And your eyes will not see death until my salvation is established. If you are going to be such a man, you will come and accept his bounds. He will put bounds on all of your appetites. When you, in that day, your prayer will be like that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came and said that God has ability to deliver us. Some of us, we think that the next statement they made was a statement that denoted that they did not have faith. No, they were operating from a higher plane. They said, in case though he decides not to, we will not yet bow, because they gave God that allowance because he was their Lord. And him being their Lord, he can decide that it's not in my business to prove to these guys that I have power to bring you deliverance. It may be my purpose just to let you go. I don't want to interfere with it. I'm Lord. So they gave him that allowance, that there's such a possibility that he may decide not to. Now, do you know that he may decide not to move your marital case because he's what? Lord. That's the explanation. But we have not known it to that level. People go for night to rain fire on heaven and say, God, you must let it loose. In the tenth month of the year, I want to be marched to the altar. We give instructions to God. But when God looks at the life of the person saying, want to march in the tenth month, is out of alignment. If God gives him somebody, in the next 6 months, we will be going to the mortuary to check, to find him. Because the person's character is out of joint. To obey is better than Joshua came back from NYC Capital, Sinai State. Then he saw some sisters consistent in prayer under the canopy. What were they praying for? Husband, husband. They were doing like this. Husband, husband, husband. Should I tell you something? I know you don't like my advice, but there's a realm of your walk with God that will not make that a prayer point. There's a realm of your walk with God that will not make finance a prayer point. If you are in alignment, you know it inside. You are assured that even those situations suggest to you that you are worth nothing, your future holds a better story. And inside of you, there's that reality is furnished. And even there, you will refuse to take bribe, not because you have anything, but because you are sure. That's somebody that is under the influence of his lordship. That man has an there's something going for him that you don't know. If you come and touch him anyhow, and he's wounded inside, and he cries, he will not go home. So we pray prayers, God bless me. It's not wrong to pray. If you pray for 10 years, it means you have not grown. You are a very carnal, fleshly, self man. God must bring you deliverance and connect you to a higher realm where things navigate in your direction, because you are standing at the foot of his purpose. For the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Because of your love for God, that's the basis for your consecration. I put myself under bondage to be your subject. I will not do what you have not commanded. And in case I do something you have not commanded, I will repent instantly and stand in line. There's a force that works with me. Because there are five sacrifices that were revealed in the book of Leviticus, the first five chapters of Leviticus. You see five sacrifices. And all of them have New Testament connotations. The first one is the sin offering. You know the meaning. The second, the trespass offering. You know the meaning. The third is the burnt offering. And that is what, for everyone you offer, there is a resultant spiritual effect that takes place in your life. Everyone. The burnt offering is equivalent. It's in the book of Romans chapter 12. Where the Bible says that we should offer ourselves as what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you have offered that one, that means your right over your life passes out of your hand to God. You don't have right to choose your career. You don't have right to choose who to marry. You don't have right to choose the job to enter into. You consult with him before you take any step. You are a living sacrifice in your everyday, in your choices, in your perspectives, in your decisions. God is the one that orchestrates your dimensions. And the resultant effect of that is that you are a carrier of God's presence. If you live that way, you will know the presence of God practically. And if you have ever known the presence of God, the presence of God makes men go out of their way to become a blessing. When Isaac was speaking about Jacob, when Jacob came and dressed this guy to be Esau, he said, "My son smells like a thief that the Lord has blessed." That is the impact of the blessing of God. His smell. The smell of blessing. Guys go out of their way to be blessing to you. But a cause is the smell of reproach. People want to offend you quickly. It's when we come into that realm of the burnt offering that we carry that kind of presence. That presence makes a way where there seems to be none. The call of God in this time is for deeper and higher walks in the spirit. A church may have number, but is not reckoned in the realm of the spirit. And God will give us grace to build according to the right pattern of the time. Come with me, Matthew 6, quickly. The time is almost gone. Matthew 6. Priority. By the time we are through with priority, we see that it was John that was speaking in 3 John verse 2, not God. And then you know that theology of thinking that God's utmost priority is that you prosper is not in his economy. There are several other things that come before that one.
Alright? The Lord give you understanding. Matthew chapter 6. Quickly. If you are there, say amen. Are you there in verse 32? Okay, I need to do a long reading now. Let me just settle here and teach this one. This journey, we can't finish it. So no need to start. Now, so we'll read from verse 25 to verse 33. Alright? Now, somebody that is a good reader, just King James Version, pick a microphone and help us. Who has King James Version? You do? Okay, Maureen, help me.
Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on.
Now, watch this. He said, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. Now, most Christians have this to be their purpose in life. If I can hit Standard Trust Bank, it's now UBA. If I can. So it comes when I say, in prayer point, you be. Well, let me tell you, it's not wrong. But it's a higher level to that application. There's a level. Because, well, let me give you an example. Not posting. This was the experience that I had. In the best of my knowledge, I sat down. And I allowed him to do it. A time came, it pleased the Lord to start revealing the future to me. See, I found out something. When that season came in my life, God will not say, this is what I'm going to do. There was one time like that, I think that was 2003. In the night vision, I just went that day, I had something like fever. I didn't know that was how I was still much spiritually younger than I am. But I know now that feeling, when it comes, it means that it's an angel close to me. So I'll be feeling something like fever. So I went to pray and I came back 11 o'clock in the night encounter. And then that fever came upon me. So I was lying down, and when I just laid down like that, the ceiling just opened. And I began to sing to the heavens. That was when I saw Benin. I saw it in 2003. The revival that rattled the foundation of this land. I saw several sensitive points in the land that covenants were entered into that have ruled the nations in this day. I saw the finger of the Lord bring judgment to them. I was wondering why God was showing me. And I remember that God told me one time that before you go into real ministry, because I don't believe I started real ministry, we are still warming up to enter into another dimension. He said that before you go there, I'm going to give you a dancer. Alright? He said it years ago. Now, so God was not... No, I want to reveal something. I don't want to hold Jesus. Don't. Okay. Oh my God. Well, so he was first showing me Benue State. Because when I finished from Benue State University, my message was not accepted. They say that man is a confusionist. He has a devil. He's possessed with the devil. Because when I come, what I see, we are celebrating what God will not accept. I say, God can't. They say, no, it's demonic man. Well, so they didn't accept me. So, the last place I want to come and be a preacher, he showed me a vision. So, when he was showing that vision, and I said, okay, but you told me sometime that before I launch into real ministry, because I refuse to pray about the issue. Alright? Then God now said, the way you have worked with me now, you don't need to pray about it again. I've already prepared. You understand? There's a higher level. If your life is inclined to obedience to God, things will navigate in your direction. You don't need to go for a night vigil and say, God, that contract, The thing you want.
That grace upon your life will destroy. He said you don't need that. As you are going now, you can't miss it. Hallelujah. 1 year later, I went to preach somewhere on one campus. I finished preaching. I came back to Abuja. I think 2 days. And the boss to who said, the Lord told me the name of God. Because those days, I used to like people that I fair. And then the one he told me that, let's discuss this issue. Let's discuss it. When I went to pray about the issue, he said, there's no fair version of what you need on my share. As you move with God, in obedience to Him, things begin to navigate. If you are here struggling to find a damn set, see me at the end of the meeting. Let me know. See me. See me. If your life is accurate, the lines will fall to you in pleasant places. And some of our prayer points will become irrelevant because your life of obedience will cause those things to come to you. Walk with me. Matthew chapter 6. On the 13th of January 2003, I told you I was just praying and God said, you are not going to full time ministry yet. I'm going to give you a job. I didn't ask him. He's just telling me what will happen. Because the life was in alignment. So he told me. He came to pass. He will mention this. It will come to pass. Somebody is living under the disobedience and praying fire. God. No, he's in the wrong place. He's not aligned. And so the power of God cannot push him into the next phase. He's out of alignment. And there's nothing God can do about it. Because God will not uncover a different principle to deal with your own case. No, he has a universal principle. Thank you. Your scale of preference, first and foremost, to tend for the kingdom, to face your gaze upon the kingdom.
Trust that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, seek his kingdom. What does it mean to seek the kingdom? We cannot talk about seeking the kingdom without talking about seeking the king. Is he talking about the lordship of Jesus? Let that be your drive. Let that be your dream. Seeking to be a faithful subject of Jesus. Hallelujah. It happens to be that the kingdom of God is a different kind of kingdom. Every other kingdom has king and subject. Not so. But in the kingdom of God, we have king and king. The kingdom of kings. So, is the king of kings, is Lord of lords. He gives you a jurisdiction to function and to rule and to express your dominion. But it's expected that you will submit to the ultimate king. And the Bible says that we need to seek that kingdom as a priority. Now, it means that you have needs. You have a trouser dangling your hanger. Hallelujah. But he says you need to look away from the limitations of hanger is revealing to you. And then make as a matter of priority seeking God to be your emphasis. Now, you see, now, this door opens this way because there's something called a hinge here. So this hinge here is, in physics, is called a pivot. Sister, if I'm going wrong, help me. It's called a pivot. The reason why the door is going to open this way is because there's a pivot here. If the pivot were here, it would open like this. If it were here, it would open like that. Now, you see, the truth is that there is something that governs your life, whether you like it or not. And God is saying here that you need to come to a point where it's the kingdom of God that governs every aspect of your life. You must make it the pivot. So you seek it first. And then every other thing that violates kingdom principle, you refrain from that thing to connect with the kingdom. Now, so your life is a derivative of kingdom priority. No, you don't get me. See, it's possible for you, for your needs to become your pivot. Everything you do in your life revolves around me getting a need met. And you can be locked up in that shackle, and that's how pagans function. And your life will not command much more authority than the next pagan by your side. He said, when you see these obvious limitations, you refuse those things to become the pivot that decides the direction of your life. You refuse it. And that means that you are going to be, we have to see adversity face to face for a season. You will see adversity face to face, and in the midst of the adversity, you still subscribe to God. There must be a season of inconsistency, of controversy in the life of a covenant man, because it took Abraham 25 years to get a child. Everything that is too fast is questionable. If you have not gone through a process of becoming strong in becoming a kingdom man and standing for God, even when it's not popular, when it's not conducive, you have nothing to draw from. And Jesus in this scripture was making particular reference to need. Natural needs, trouser, shirt. You understand that? Need. Now I check for every scripture that Jesus spoke about natural things. Trouser, shirt, what to be clothed. He said, do not make that your pivot. Now, for those of us that are students or those of us that graduated, you know that time that you had only two trousers? Do you remember? Did the day break? Did it break? The day broke. Nothing hindered it. It came. Did you survive it? But a time came in your life where you had more trousers. And then trousers was no longer something that was a need. Do you understand? Not because you prayed for it, but you just made it irrelevant. And suddenly you went past that season. You don't understand it? That's how your life is supposed to be. That nothing in the natural realm will be able to influence your life. You will not give anything that authority to the pivot, save the kingdom of God. Because if you become a pastor and your drive is money, it will be reflected in all everything you call ministry. Money, your drive, your pivot will be revealed in it. You don't need discernment of spirit to know somebody whose God is his belly. You don't need to see spirit. No. You need to stand with God until he decides to stretch his scepter in your direction. When he stretches his scepter in your direction, you will see that some things that were challenges to you have changed. Not because you became more skillful, but because he has released an empowerment over your life. That's what we are talking about. And if you get to that point, you can invoke the same oracle on your son. And the same thing works with him, even though you gave him no, you didn't buy shares for him. There's a problem I have. If I'm distracted, it empties me. It's good to buy shares for your son. Okay, buy shares for your daughter. Let me tell the truth. My friend bought 50,000 naira shares for Mwando. The dividend after 1 year was 50 naira. After 1 year of investment, they voted 50 naira in. I'm not saying don't buy shares. What I'm saying is this. Whether you bought shares for your son or not, and you schooled him in the way of submitting to the lordship of Jesus, you have transferred the same influence into his life. And even if he's taken into a foreign nation to start off again, he cannot be stranded. The approach toward life he has taken is not beggarly. It has power to support your destiny and to fund the purpose of God you are carrying in your spirit. So the degree to which we see material and financial blessing is the degree to which it is relevant to make the purpose of God hanging over your life. Hallelujah. What do you make the Bible? Material needs, your prayers will always go in that direction. Your fasting will be fasting for wife. Everything will be going there. And then you don't understand that your level of efficiency is the same level of efficiency as the pagan. See, all these things to the Gentile speak, and your father has knowledge that you have need of them. But priority. But it means with the need. But in the face of the contradiction, but in the midst of the lack, turn your face from them and seek that kingdom. If you do that, you will labor in adversity for a season. And then you will come to understand that adversity in itself does not have the ability to strangle a man of destiny. You will see that one face to face. And that it will be the obituary of every anxiety you had in your life. God will allow you. See, do you know what we call? You see, when an eagle wants to teach its young how to fly, because they don't fly naturally, because the nest eagles build, that's where they derive the technology of foam from. Because if you see an eagle nest, you will sleep there. So the eaglets like the nest so much. And so when the mother wants to teach them how to fly, he comes and catches it, and then all of them will hang on the branch. And when they hang on the branch, he will kick one. That one will fall. Before it hits the ground, the eagle will come and carry. God will allow you to see poverty. Before you hit, you don't understand it.
If you have ever had that experience, you will not be afraid of poverty again. He will put you in the face of your fear, so that you know that there's only one thing to fear. That's it. That thing that you are believing that, oh, it's late, my marriage is late, my mates are married. He will put you in the face of loneliness until something inside of you will no longer feel cheated that I'm not married. When you have gained that mastery on the inside, you will know that there's nothing that can threaten you successfully. At that point, it comes a vision. The next time you fall, you will fold your leg because you know before you get there. That becomes your secret. So for you, you don't need to create anything to make yourself look spectacular. You know that there's something that will hold me when I'm near to the ground. And so your loyalty will not be to situations. Your loyalty will be to the king. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom. So when we look upon a man that has gone through the processes with God with relating to financial things, more money does not change his wardrobe necessarily. More money does not make him more proud. In fact, he becomes more humble. You will see him. You will know that this man is separate from his money. This man, money can't influence him. He has been insulated. His heart is open to give to people. And he gives into God's project without limitation. Such a man has been something that is stronger than money. That's why money cannot be. Some people spend 20 minutes more in a service. And then the pastor came and said, because we have stayed in the church longer than necessary, God is bound to give us extra blessing. Somebody begin to pray. The contract will come this time. This, you know, when the service has ended. In that service, pick your bag. That. God, let me tell you the truth. God is not under any obligation to make any contract work because he stayed in service for 30 minutes. Not under. And most of the times, our fleshly and carnal desires that makes us pray. But if the kingdom of God becomes your pivot, there are many things we pray for today that you can pray for. And those things will what? Be added. Somebody say added. Now the Bible did not say multiply. There will be a spiritual experience attached to anything that comes into your life. You can tell the testimony of how God took you through the process. How he matured you for that thing. And then that one thing is added. Then he takes you on another tour, begins to mature you. For some people, it takes 5 years to mature them to get married. But there's a deliberate spiritual dealing attached to anything that God truly gives. And that which God gives is permanent. But somebody takes off like a tornado, we don't know, we just lost contact with him for 2 years, then he comes back with a jeep. Oga, where? Then he comes to the pulpit and says, blessed be God. The service ended that moment. For him coming to the mic, God left. God left. There's always a process attached to anything that God brings, so that when he begins to tell the story, you know he went through the process. My friend took off like a tornado. I think it was how many years old? 20. What? He brought a lady, he said, you want to marry now, you want to marry now. I won't. He did not know that after getting married, he will queue up. Your life will become slow. And if you did not capture any dealing from God, you won't have capacity to sustain you. Hallelujah. But if you have gone into the process, gone through that process, there will be capacity to sustain everything God brings. In the perspective of God's kingdom. And so God, we always say, do not look upon this need as what should drive your life, because it will drive your life into vanity. I hope you know, for every success you have, sacred or secular, there's vanity attached to it. Have you not seen somebody that became a bishop, he couldn't shake people again? That's vanity. But the guy was humble before,
But when they crowned him, he became pious and sacramental. I see God, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. He's not in anything. He has gone the way of vanity, emptiness, and darkness. I had a prayer partner those days. We used to come to the church in the night to pray all night. Then I came back from school, they ordained him pastor. When he saw me, he said, "Hello."
Hello.
Somebody say hello. There's vanity attached to any promotion you have, either secular or sacred. Just because somebody just bought a car, put AC with window. If God did not give him the dealing, if he did not pass him through the process to prepare him for that stage of life, he will mess up there. And that's why all these things that the Gentiles seek will not be multiplied to you. They are what? Added. So God gives you an elaborate experience before he gives. So that when he makes you a storehouse, your confidence will not be on anything that is material. You will still know that it is the kingdom that you have been drawing upon. And that's the same oracles that you commit to your children spiritually and biologically. And anywhere they go, they can tap into the same fountain. The Bible says that a good man leaveth an inheritance for what? His children should. Not because he bought house for them, but he reveals the kingdom principles. And he uses his life as an example. Has what happened to him when he went through the process. We have no heritage to draw from. We just come and read books like Murdoch, Zig Ziglar. What is your own story? What's your story? What will you tell your son? That these demons used to trouble them here. When I came here through prayer in the night, I dislodged them. That thing has entered him. I say, it's in heritage. It's in the line. That we are the people that drive demons. So when he goes for you service in Okokoro, and then we are demons. We say, good morning. He said, I remember those days. My father said that he drove the demons. Something is there for him to draw upon. But there's no story to transfer to the next generation. That's why we're groping in darkness, walking through the past without a light to guide us. I pray that you'll make your life that specimen. Put it within the crucible, within the searchlight of the kingdom. Allow God to prune you and to bring you into shape so that you can be a beacon for generations to look upon. I'm tired of beggarly talk every time. Year of this, year of that. What has changed in your life? The caption changes, but the year is as dry as it was. I stopped living by captions. I stopped living by classic stickers. My economy is run on the last revelation I received from God. Even in the military, they say you obey the last command. But I've seen men run with shadows. But our God is not cartoon. Not cartoon. As I began to press into God, my life began to change. In fact, my parents brought me up in the way of the Lord. When I started hearing God, they say, "Something, this one is not the one we taught you." They say, "The way you read Bible now is not you." The people read it, they became mad. Because there was a time I was reading the Bible 17 hours with lamp, with candle. And then the night I come out, I speak a door. My father said, in the night, my dad will, an intelligent man, he has gone to school abroad, everything. Wake up in the night, you come to my room, I open the door. And then he will see me reading the Bible. I will pretend as if I didn't see. Then he will do the door in such a way that, woo, so that I will know that he's there. When you begin to press into the kingdom, even your best friends will not be able to understand you anymore. Because the template and the platform you are operating from, you have entered your seasons in God's hands. Somebody saying, "I want to go to New York." You say, "Me, I'm waiting for what God will say." Say, you are crippled. You are, leave them. It's a new template. God will begin to tell you some things, and if you dare to obey them, everybody will criticize you. They call you a Jew. They say, "No, you are good for nothing." Close your ears to it. You will lose all your friends. You will lose the guys you are connected to. The guys that want you to operate on their profile. When the kingdom suggests that you should stoop low and wait for the next season, You look upon somebody that you graduated from school with, is now in standard trust. And God said, don't look upon him. Don't. If you still envy him, it means there's something I need to deal with. I will admit you back to intensive care unit. Meanwhile, that guy is walking in, he comes out with a jeep and say, hey, hallelujah. Ebenezer. And you are still going through a school. The reason is because you are learning how to hear a spirit. You see, even mercy men, it takes 14 years of apprenticeship to become a custodian of the shrine. My ancestors were there. So I can tell you details of what they're doing in rainy season. How they're going through the bush. 40 rainfalls must beat them, and then the sun will dry them for 14 times before they offer the sacrifice that will renew their power for one more year. Those guys were wholly given to those idols. And that's why they spoke for Satan. And I want to be a preacher and do less? No. He says, seek the kingdom. Plunge into the kingdom. We can use the power of that kingdom to change this generation. But what we have is bread that is weak. It cannot stand when it is put under pressure. God will take you through every process. He will not allow any class to be exempted. And when you come out, he will raise his scepter in your direction. When he does that, even the heavens will obey when you speak. Elijah said, if I be a man of God. He was not speaking by anointing. He was speaking by an authority that was vested upon him by his king to do and undo within this sphere. That's a king talking. But a king in this kingdom must have history. God. You don't just wake up and buy Italian soup. If I be a man of God, that hand may not come down. The hand may not come down. Don't be in a hurry. You must have a history with him until he stretches his scepter in your direction and say, behold the man. If you speak, heaven will back it. A time will come, you don't need to look for the next car to ride. Because after every 6 months, somebody just misses his way into your hands with a key. It's not because you prayed for it. The thing you are carrying is drawing it. You say, my son smells like a field that the Lord has blessed. We need to tap into the spiritual frequency so that we can change this land. The breath of God needs to roar upon the territory. All the powers of witchcraft that are elsewhere in the land will hear your voice. And they are, oh my God, the entrances will quake. Their horse will be broken. And the captives under their power will leap for joy. Because a man that speaks for God has showed up upon the territory. One day we are doing deliverance and the lady jumped up in the air and suspended. Hey, some people resign. I say, no. Jump up high and just. Will your anchor hold? If God has taken you through processes where you are seeing terrible things in righteousness, another trick from the devil will not put you to flight. Anybody can be mighty if you can follow the kingdom. Should I tell you that the secret of prosperity is not what you do, who you follow? That's the true secret. What are you following? What are you following? What are you following? God is not emotional. He won't hear you cry that, hey, Lord! And move. No. And then he cried that it is before the great champions. Yours will not be an exception. Went to preach on campus. And the fellowship I went to, the people were so excited. Hallelujah! When you talk to somebody said, ow! Amen! Alright, no problem. And I told them that there is another phase of God's experience that is going to come. And this phase they experience the piercing of a dagger. That was the day I said, God has a bad. They didn't know what I was saying. I said, Jacob labored for 14 years to get his damn soul. Hallelujah. And that damn soul that brought problems to him.
brought idols into his hands. The finger of God was no longer with him. Then the lady herself now made a statement. Said, I'm the one that carried it. God heard that one. And the hand of God fell. When that lady fell, Jacob cried. Did God cry with him? God has what?
Dagger.
I said, those things hanging in your life, the dagger of God will touch you. Nobody say amen that day. In fact, the person that invited me said that I preached out of their doctrinal scope. And he took away the opportunity to continue. But those words were there as a testimony. When that dagger came into that ministry, the pastor had to call me to come back. But then my father said, no, go again. Because God will take you from that elementary level of hype.
Yeah.
And then bring you to a steady posture of process. That one, there's no hallelujah there. It's steady. When you are bowing your head to the yoke of the kingdom demand, it's slow but steady. The result of that is not emotional. And everybody must pass through that process before they come to gospel. But today that's the aspect of the gospel that has become unpopular. We just want to come and then use your left hand to touch the blessing. This is the second picture, verse 71. The kingdom. And what is righteousness? You will not pray for this thing, but you will navigate. Should I tell you that if you are living in the purpose of God for your life, and you have submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, and you have two trousers, it is two trousers heaven ordained that you have now. Your own is not an accident. Because all things work together. If you know God's higher purpose, you will know that those two children at this moment are working for good. If you really come into that point of covenant with God, come under subjection to His kingdom mandate, nothing can make you disadvantaged. That you didn't go to school is not a trouble. That you went to school is not a trouble. Nothing can, because you are operating beyond the sphere of this realm. And everything in this realm must answer to you. He said, behold, I give unto you the keys of, not keys to heaven, but the keys of heaven. They are used here. Let us go. Sorry for the breaking transmission. I don't know what to do in that place. Please, we have tapes. I think the tapes are about 46 now. From the first meeting we held from last year till this meeting. You can book them, look upon the titles, and book for anyone you want. But I want us to pray. Hallelujah. God's emphasis is not to have you ride a jeep. And that's why all of us have not yet become millionaires. Because it will not cost God anything to make us millionaires. But God wants to give us dealings, kingdom dealings. That will reveal His kingdom perspective in every detail of our life. Then it comes to a point where nothing else can influence your life. Nothing. Money can't. Wealth can't. That you have traveled to nations, it cannot. So that if you are receiving an invitation and God says, don't go to Uganda, then let it go. And the only thing that influences your life as a pipe up over your life is the kingdom of God, the Lordship of Jesus. A time comes in your walk with God that there will be nothing that you need that will not respond. But let me tell you the truth, God will prove you through adversity. And if you are afraid of adversity, you have not yet ready for His dealing. But God, even in adversity, will give you sufficient opportunity to know that He is with you.
Do you understand that?
He will encourage you sufficiently. Just before you become discouraged, He will encourage you. He'll keep doing that in the process to make you know that I'm with you. But when you have submitted yourself to his process, he's raising his step. You speak for him in the earth. Everything answers you. I want us to pray. I say, God, make me relevant. Make me relevant. You know what troubles me? Anytime I come and I see somebody dead, I wonder, I say, Lord. But men like Elijah raised the dead. The apostles raised the dead. You raised the dead. What is wrong? Why am I restrained? What else do I need to know? That is what we call death. God being first is death in you, then he raises you as a sample. Height is very easy to attain to. I think Jake preached about 17 years in hiding. And then it took about 5 years to shoot him into lamplight. Going into lamplight is very easy. And if you get there before time, it's an affliction. It's a major affliction. Because it will be clear that you were not trained to function there. And you will receive early publicity to principality and power. And that makes it more complicated. It makes it more complicated. Hallelujah. I pray that God will make us relevant. And as we speak tonight, if there are things in your life that you need to let go of and like and allow God come into the perfect view, why not? Why not say, Lord, you can take us. Make me relevant. I want us to pray to him. Give me volume on your keyboard. Make me relevant. Make me relevant.
For the eyes of God walketh to and fro the earth, for to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose hearts are right before him. Make me relevant. Lord, we call upon you tonight. Breathe upon our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship to the Lord. Give me volume.
And Lord, you reign forever. Lord, you reign forever. We worship you. We worship you. Sing, Lord, you reign.
Lord, you reign forever.
Lord, you reign.
You reign forever.
We worship you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah. I still want us to pray a point. Amen. But you see, I said the other time that in a situation where there's a riot and Christians are killed, there is supposed to be a reaction from heaven. God is supposed to react. And if it does not, it means something is wrong.